The House Transportation Committee will come to order. The internet is on, so please don't do anything out of the ordinary. We welcome you here in the room and all the internet listeners that we have. Remind you to turn off all cell phones and electronic devices. This year they let us determine our own fines for those transgressions. And in this committee, everything that goes off is charged $50 that goes to Make-A-Wish Foundation. So I would highly recommend, unless you love Make-A-Wish Foundation like I do, that you turn your phones and electronic equipment to silent or buzz or something. I'll give everybody a chance to do that, and then we'll have the secretary call the roll. Okay.
Representatives Bolin, Fikert, Hickey, Kaiser, Rasmussen, Rounds, Schaefer, Schoenbeck, Schramm, Stalzer, Werner, Duvall, Riccio.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. If my voice goes out, Vice Chair Duvall will probably take over here in a few minutes if I can't wait. I cannot imagine not being able to talk. I might as well commit suicide. I would entertain a motion on the minutes, please. It's on the minutes, not out of my suicide. All those in favor? Opposed? Same sign? Yes. Okay. While you're there, go ahead and step up and introduce yourself, please. Green light.
Okay. My name is Marty Larson, and I'm from up here.
Welcome. Thank you. All the handouts, if you have any, Marty Shaw handles out for us. Anybody who is going to testify today, although this is not that, I'm not so sure we're going to be pretty loose today, but you need to sign in. We're just doing a kind of a 101 course on transportation today, and we have the Secretary of Transportation, Darren Bergquist, here, and any of his staff that he wants to have testify. And those who you don't have testify, because we have new people here on the committee, if you just allow them to, or you can introduce them and explain what they do. Is there any lobbyists here who would like to introduce yourself to these kind and wonderful folks on this panel? You're certainly welcome to. So, Mr. Secretary.
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
This has been my personal privilege to brought to my attention that Castlewood students are here. They came all the way to see the chairman from Hill City.
I bet they did. Who is your spokesman? Please stand up and tell us why you're here and what's happening. Got a volunteer?
Hey, there's a future politician. He popped right up.
Welcome. Glad you're interested enough to get up. Representative Werner, would you like a personal privilege? Oh, okay. Last chance you get with me.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Darren Bergquist, Secretary of the South Dakota DOT. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Kind of in a very brief and condensed version,
Bill Nevin. The early 2000s, I believe it was about 2001, the legislature had passed a statute that said before any segment could be taken off the state highway system, there had to be an agreement in place between the department and a local government entity where they would accept jurisdiction of that road. Not surprisingly, there aren't many counties out there looking to add to their county system and take out additional miles to maintain. So we've had virtually no proposed changes to the state highway system to bring in front of the legislature in the last few years. There was discussion both in this legislative summer study this past year and in the studies going back to 2008 and 2009, whether there was a need to revisit what was and was not on the state highway system. Was there a need to, were there roads on the state highway system that maybe shouldn't be on the state highway system that weren't really functioning as state highway, maybe should be on the county system and vice versa? Every time over the years that discussion has come up in those summer studies, it's never really gone very far. I think the general sentiment has always been moving segments of highway between state and county never really solved any problems. It just transferred problems back and forth from one to another. And so there's never been a recommendation come out of a summer study for changing the categorization of any of the public roads in the state. So the next slide just shows, again, not new information, where the miles of travel are relative to the different categories of public roads in South Dakota. Not surprisingly, most of the vehicle miles traveled, 67% of those miles are on the state highway system, which makes up a relatively small portion of the overall. But that's not surprising, given what the intent and purpose of the state highway system is, which is really to move people and goods across and through the state, as opposed to those local roads whose function is really just to move a smaller volumes of local traffic shorter distances. So one other figure to throw at you on that, the 80% of all the heavy truck traffic miles that are driven in the state do go on the state highway system. Moving on to the next slide, one last slide comparing the state and local systems, and that's on the bridges, and I'll have another table breaking this down a little bit further in the presentation. But given the respective number of miles, it's certainly not surprising that there are more bridges more on the local system than there are on the state highway system. There's just more miles of road on that system. But when you look at the size of those bridges or size of those structures, if you add all that up, the relatively small number of structures on the state highway system all added together are actually larger when you look at the deck area than all the local structures. Again, that's due to size. If you look at the bridges that are on the state highway system, a lot of them are very substantial in size. They're crossing the interstates or even larger, crossing the Missouri River and large water areas like that. So the why do we look at this distinction between the state and the local system? Well, it really gets back to the basis for how we have chosen for decades to fund our various roads in South Dakota. And if you look at the next slide, which I believe is number five, we've kind of set up separate funding systems for how we fund our local, particularly county roads, and how we fund our state highway system. The state highway system is funded predominantly from the motor fuel tax and the vehicle excise tax. I'll talk a little bit more about both of those. That's 90-plus percent of the state revenues that go to the state highway system. On the county system, we fund our county roads with license plate fees or registration fees, local property tax and wheel tax. We've historically always kept those two components for at least the last 25 plus years, kept those two components as two different pieces, although there has always been some, I guess what I'll call crossover from the state side to the local side, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Next slide just shows the existing state and federal fuel tax rates. As they are today in South Dakota. Just three quick comments on that. One, the gas tax in South Dakota has been the same since 1999. The federal tax rates have not changed since 1993. The only change really since 1990 is a change in the way we tax ethanol products. Most people will, when they think ethanol, they think, well, ethanol gets a 2 cent break in motor fuel tax. And that used to be the case for a number of years. We used to tax ethanol blends at 20 cents a gallon, and then we taxed E85 at 10 cents a gallon. A few years ago, that taxing methodology was changed, I think, predominantly because of the blender pumps and that coming in. And we now tax the components of ethanol separately. So ethyl alcohol, which is the component that goes into the blend to make an ethanol, is taxed at 8 cents a gallon. The gasoline that goes into the blend is taxed at 22 cents a gallon. And then depending on whether it's 10%, 20%, or what the blend is, will yield a final effective tax rate on ethanol products. Next slide just shows the a little bit of history on the state motor fuel revenues that go into the state highway fund. These make up about 60% of all the state revenues that go into the state highway fund. You can see it's been relatively flat since 2006. A couple of comments to make on this. One, when you hear Ms. Lorenz from the Department of Revenue talk about their collections of motor fuels, the figures that you see on this chart will not necessarily match her collection figures, and there's two reasons for that. One being that they report when they collect the tax, which is actually, there's actually a time lag of when it's actually deposited into the state highway fund. These are revenues into the state highway fund, so their collections, for instance, in December, they'll report them in December. They don't get deposited till January and show up in our figures. The other reason there is some difference is that not every cent of fuel tax that is collected by the Department of Revenue ends up into the state highway fund. There are funds that come off the top before that deposit for such things as tribal tax refunds, snowmobile refunds, and boat refunds. All of those come out before the final net amount goes into the state highway fund.
May I ask a question? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Berquist, would the amount that the difference between what the revenue department talked about or reported in this, would that be, could you break that down for us on a percentage basis? Would that be 3%, 4%, or just approximately what would be the difference?
I can't off the top of my head, Representative Bull. I'll just give you some estimates for context. The amounts for the snowmobile and boat money that comes out of there, those are relatively small. I don't want to say 1% or maybe even less. Please don't hold me to that number. I don't have as good a figure on the tribal refunds, but it's not a huge percentage that gets taken off.
Very good.
And I can get with revenue and get you exact figures on that.
Okay. Just approximate would be fine. But sure. As long as I just wanted to make sure it's not a huge amount of money that's different.
Yeah, it's not like 25% or something comes off the top. Very good. No, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry.
Representative, it is the total dollar. I do know the two figures on the, because I raised so much heck about it, the boats and the snowmobiles, and it's just around $2 million total for the two.
I was going to defer to the chair on that because I knew he would know that, but thank you, Mr. Chair. The last comment I'll make on this slide before moving on is to keep in mind our Constitution protects our funding for roads and bridges in South Dakota. License fees and tax on fuels used on the road are all required by the Constitution to be used for the maintenance, construction, and supervision of roads and bridges in the state. So next chart is just a rough approximation of what each additional penny would generate in revenue applied across the board based on gallons sold in the last fiscal year. Moving on to the next chart is the 3% excise tax on the sale of vehicles. This makes up about 35% of the overall revenue into the state funds into the state highway fund. You can see from the chart this is relatively flat for a number of years. I think that was probably primarily due to the recession and the economy at that time as we started to come out of the recession, and as we're all familiar with, the prices of vehicles aren't getting any cheaper every time you need to go buy one. The revenue generated from that has been growing fairly at a pretty even rate over the last four or five years. Last year, that revenue generated from the 3% excise tax was $78.4 million. So if you look at the next chart, each percent then dividing by three based on last year's numbers would generate $26.1 million. Finally, last chart on the state highway funding side is chart number 11. This is all combined sources in the state highway fund. There's the two predominant ones are the motor fuel tax and the 3% vehicle excise tax. There is a bunch of what I'll call miscellaneous items, whether it be signed permits or sale of equipment or any of those small items make up that final 5% of the total state highway fund revenues.
Representative Warner.
Thank you, Chair. Secretary, I would go back to the excise tax one. The latest governor slideshow that I'm seeing shows $27.2 million. Is that the correct number we should be looking at?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for pointing that out, Representative Warner. I meant to make that point. The figures that I am presenting today are based on last year's actuals. I think the figures that you are referring to are projected for FY16. And based on the historic growth we've seen the last few years in excise tax, we're projecting that to continue to grow at about a 5% rate, and that's what generated that 27.2. Mr. Chairman, moving on, I'm on slide 12 now. Out of the state funds that go into the state highway fund, our first and probably most important use of those state funds, and obviously the biggest use of those state funds, is to make sure that we're providing all of the required state match for all the federal dollars that are available to us. That's the first priority with those funds. And then the rest of those funds are used for things like maintaining our buildings, maintaining our equipment, doing our maintenance, doing our signing, all those types of things. Probably one of the biggest items that we do with state funds, especially important this time of year. Everybody notices it this time of year, and that's our winter maintenance activities, and that's a big, big expense for us. We've got close to 450 pieces of winter maintenance equipment to help cover all the miles of the state highway system. And this chart just gives you an idea of what it costs us each year to do winter maintenance in South Dakota. Obviously, you can see by the chart, it goes up and down substantially from one year to the next. Probably the two biggest factors on what drive that are what kind of winter we're having, how much snow we get, and then what are our materials that we use, whether that be diesel, salt, sand, chemicals, those kind of things, what they cost us during the year. But that's a big expense item out of our state revenues. Moving on, I'm on slide 13 now. In addition to the state funding that we get for our state highways, we also get federal funding, federal highway funding. It's the federal highway funding that we get is just vitally important to our ability to maintain the state highway system. The chart just kind of gives you a couple of bullet points to keep in mind when we talk about federal funding. They are not unrestricted in their use. They can only be used for the planning, construction, preserving, and maintaining the safety of the state highway system. They can't be used for plowing snow. They can't be used for winter maintenance activities. They can't be used to buy equipment. They can't be used to take care of buildings. They go into highway construction predominantly. Most of the federal funds that we get are on an 80/20 match basis. So 80% of a project can be funded with federal dollars and 20% needs to be funded with state dollars. I guess if you look at the next chart, it will give you an indication of what we have received each year in the way of federal funding. A number of comments to make about the chart on page 14. First of all, you'll notice, going back to 1999, you can see up through 2011, there was a very steady upward climb in federal funding that was available to us, both when you look at the normal formula funding and then particularly when you add the earmark funding on top of that. We grew from 1999 of about $175 million up to almost $300 million in regular funding through 2009, 10, and 11. You'll also note that in 2012, 13, and 14, we started to see a slow decline in those federal funds that are available to us. I'll explain in a little bit. I'll explain more detail here in a little bit about why it is that we're seeing that decline. You'll also notice the red. Red is the earmarks that Congress used to historically provide earmark funds to federal earmark funds to states, and by earmark they were specifically designated for a particular project and can only be used for that project. Those went away in 2009, and Congress has, since 2009, has not earmarked any projects. The last federal highway bill that we had was called MAP 21. You may remember after Safety Lou expired in 2009, we went through a long period without any federal highway bill. We had a period of short-term continuations, I guess, over that time period. In 2012, Congress passed MAP 21, which is the existing federal highway program that was scheduled to expire at the end of September of last year, end of the fiscal year. No replacement program was in place, so that is currently being extended. I think the last extension now takes it through May of this year. Before would it be set to expire again. Part of the challenge with those short-term extensions like that, or particularly the one that we're under right now, is we're 3+ months into the federal fiscal year. We don't know what we'll have for federal funding for this upcoming construction season. We've got partial year funding on a pro rata basis through May, but hopefully Congress will be acting soon to either extend that or replace that and give us an idea of what we'll have for federal funding this year.
Mr. Secretary, can I interrupt for just a second? The Representative May just walked into the room. I don't know if you got my email or not on her question.
That was my next point, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, good, because we're talking about stimulus right now. Pay attention, Representative May.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You see in 2009 the substantial spike in funding, and it's shown in yellow. That's the stimulus funding that we received, and I want to explain a little bit how the state used that stimulus funding and how that was shared with the local government entities. We did receive about $183 million in federal stimulus money as a part of the ARRA stimulus package in 2009. Those funds were positive of it, but they didn't require any federal or any state match. They could be used for 100% state or 100% federally funded projects. They certainly had challenges associated with them. They were designed for what was commonly referred to as shovel ready projects. They needed to be let to contract in a relatively quick manner. There was additional regulatory requirements that applied to the stimulus money, and there were substantial reporting requirements that went with the stimulus money. For instance, every project that you did that had stimulus money included as part of the payment of the cost, each project had to be identified to Congress, and I believe it was every week or every 2 weeks we had a report on progress, and contractors had to provide information in terms of number of jobs and whether those jobs were newly created jobs or whether they were retained, I guess would be the right term, for those jobs. So certainly a tremendous benefit to the highway system in South Dakota, not without its challenges in implementation. The Transportation Commission, I'll talk more about local federal sub-allocations in a minute, because we share all of the federal funding that we get. A portion of that is shared with each of the counties get a piece, and all the Class 1 cities get a piece. The Transportation Commission, who allocates those funds, chose at the time of receiving the stimulus money that they wanted to share the stimulus funding with the local government entities in the same proportion as we share our other federal funding. And that came to about $16.2 million out of that stimulus funding was to go to the local government entities. I mentioned the various requirements that went with using the stimulus money, which would have been very burdensome to the local government entities because, they may not have had a shovel-ready project ready to use those stimulus funds, or B, the stimulus funds were not enough to get the project done, C, trying to coordinate the reporting, all that reporting for 66 counties and the 16 Class 1 cities was going to be a challenge. So what the commission did, they offered an option to those local government entities and said, look, your share.
To SDPB Radio for State House updates throughout the day, including a live report at noon Central, 11 Mountain. Find local coverage maps and live audio stream information at SDPB.
That freed up funds to do some other things that we needed done on the system, but may not have fit within the stimulus program. In terms of what the locals ultimately did with the additional federal money that they received, that's kind of difficult to say and to track because it was commingled with other funds that they already had available to them. I would say it's probably pretty unlikely that any of those went into bridges.
I got a flash sun sitting on a junkyard road with a tin pile high. Lord, it shines like gold. Yeah, well, I've been living in the country, more to push than you. Got a pile of steel, still the train goes through. Lucky 45, I've got a slack jaw line with the unknown face in a roadhouse shrine. Hell yeah, they real.